Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Rudy. Nice to see you. I love you, man. We're back to Galatians chapter 5. So if you get your Bibles ready there. And we're going to deal with some material that I was looking for a way to illustrate it, to hopefully bring it alive. And so hopefully I've done that in these first number of slides, and that you would bear with me with these a little bit, because I've never really used some things from our own country in our sermon. But I want to talk about freedom today, and that's what our country was about, freedom, when it gets right down to it. And probably the immigrants that are in our room and others that have been here before know this better than most Americans that were raised in this country. You went through class and whatever, and you did this. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life. We have some politicians that don't know that words there. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, most people stop there, but that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever a form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to go after or abolish it. And just keep reading, you know, beyond that. Most people only get to the first part, but those that were founders of this country, which all of that's in question today, you know, said, when there's a time that the government's not protecting your freedoms, we have a right to change that if we can. You might not have appreciated Rush Limbaugh. I have a book, got it for Christmas. I wanted this book because I do believe he's the greatest radio host of all time. And people that never listened to him and only got what you heard from TV or whatever, people that thought they knew who he was about, don't appreciate how deeply he loved this country and how often he spoke about it over and over and over. And I've not come across somebody on the radio that I would listen to that's been anywhere near good, as insightful as he's been. But that's me. But out of his book, because they have in his book, you know, various clips of what he spoke about. And this was one of them. You know that what happened in Philadelphia in 1776 was a miracle. Divine inspiration had to have been there. The principles may be bigger, this is important, may be bigger than the men who wrote them down, but they did write them. And they were not racist and they were not bigots. Whatever else the PC crowd teaches today in some things in between. You say that the principles are bigger than the people who wrote them down, but it took people to write them down. Where did they get the inspiration? Where did they get the intelligence? And if you would look at a lot of what he said, he never claimed that these people were perfect. They are not. You and I are not perfect. These people that brought about this country were not perfect, but they wrote something down that you have to wonder, where did it come from? Because it created a document that, I mean, they wrote that all men were created equal, black, white, pink, blue, whatever they were. They wrote something that eventually turned into the fact that people could be free in this country. Why did the immigrants come to this country, or why did they? Freedom. That's what they wanted. Freedom. They wanted to live a life that they wanted to live and build it and be a part of it. But this part's important, that none of these people that are our founding fathers are perfect. How could they write something down that is about freedom the way they did it, that eventually when you carry out what they wrote, people become free? Doesn't matter what your color is when it comes right down to it. Oh man, I'm gonna have to turn this way. Another thing, response to a caller. A caller called into him and he responded. This is one of the aspects of life in America today that so many people frustrated. People are willing to throw away their individuality in exchange for being accepted by some community, whatever community it is. Not just the town, but a group of people, like-minded thinkers, conformists. Americans, way too many of them, are way too interested in conformity and what people think of them and getting along and letting Washington make decisions for them. You know the old adage about trading a little freedom for security here, trading some there. You're talking about freedom and the founders and liberty. Nobody thinks their freedom is up for grabs. You see, our country experimented the last 3 years and still doing it. It found a way to rob you of your freedom for security, for health, for whatever else. I'm not being political. I'm just telling you what's happened. And they're going for it as far as they can go. And too many of us are willing to give it up for security. And while I love this country, I don't know what's going on down there in Washington. It's crazy. If you don't pay attention, you probably don't know, maybe some of you do, that there is every year in Davos, Switzerland, what's called the World Economic Forum. And this is a group of people that fly their planes in to this place, polluting the atmosphere. And one of them is this gentleman right here, and here's what he said this year at the World Economic Forum. When you stop and think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives. You know what touched John Kerry, folks? His wife, Heinz, owns Heinz Ketchup. That's what touched his life. But for whatever touched our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. There's a select group of people who think that they are, from all over the world, who think that they are the ones saving the planet, and they're basically working behind the scenes to make that all happen. These are called the world's decision makers. That's what they think they are. Not our government, not this government, whatever. No, they're the world's decision makers. They know better what's best for you than you do. Gee, 2,658 attendees. These are the world's decision makers. They think they know how your life ought to run. 27% of them are Americans. When you look at the figures. Say, what's this about? It's about freedom. It's about people that they're making decisions on your behalf because they know best how to save the world, how to save your life, and how it is that you ought to run your life. That's the context we're living in. I ask you to wake up to it. And you say, how's this related to this? Well, you see. Because we want to talk about freedom. And what's really at stake when we talk about freedom, what's really at stake is our life. And a fullness of life that we have an inalienable right to. Whether they understood what they wrote, that's what they wrote. And it came out of somewhere. They were came out of a Christian belief of believing in a creator that our country is burying at the moment. And that's what he's talking about in this letter. In the early part of the letter, remember he said there are those that have come in to spy out our freedom, is what he said. And then leading into the beginning of chapter 5, he was talking about this whole situation with Hagar, and we are a product of the free woman. And what he used was the slave woman. And so he goes into chapter 5, verse 1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. And then, which we won't deal with completely today, down at verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. You were called to freedom. That there's nothing more precious in Paul's eyes than your freedom. His freedom, the freedom that we were called to in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this letter to them, he says, you're turning back. You're turning back to elementary principles of the world. You're going back to slavery. And in this letter, as we have studied before, he says, there is no law given. There is no law given that can give you life. There is none that will give you life. That's not what they're for. Not one. We're going to read the text. From that point on, and then I'm going to discuss it. So he says in verse 2, because he said, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, we'll deal with this. If you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Notice the word obeying there. We'll get to that next sermon I come to. This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? That verse thrown in there, you know, trips everybody up. What Paul's really doing here is he's saying, hey, there's word out here among these people that I'm not so hard that I've even talked about circumcision and that sort of thing. He says, if I ever talked about that in your context, that it's okay, why then am I being persecuted? Obviously, I've not talked about it. That's what that verse is all about. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, yeah. In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Do you think Paul is serious about this? This is a serious letter. He's not very happy about things. That these are blistering words that are addressed to a person he does not know and all those associated with this person. Whoever this is that has done this, he says to those who would submit to circumcision, to those that would submit to it, he says, Christ is of no advantage to you. You are severed from Christ. You have fallen from grace. In essence, you have lost Christ. There are churches today. I want to know how they answer that. Bob knows it well. I'd like to know how some churches answer that. I'm asking you, as simple people like me, I'm not smart, I'm simple like you. We're talking to Christians here in Galatians, and he says, you know, you go to here, Christ is of no advantage to you, you are severed from him, you have fallen from grace. Is there anybody that can explain what some churches preach? Who say, you could never do this. And talk about extreme. I mean, we preachers have been fearful of being very strong with people. But, you know, Paul says, you know, this one, if you're going to do circumcision, why don't you just, can you imagine speaking in this manner? Emasculate yourself. Now, we preachers, you know, we don't want to go too hard. Don't want to go too hard. Got to soft. You know, we don't want anybody getting upset with this. And he uses this. Why does he use this kind of language? Because in the context of these Galatians who became Christians, there was the worship of Cybele. You know who Cybele is? It's a goddess. It's a fertility goddess. And she was worshipped as the mother goddess of everything. She's the one through whom all the gods were born, all the earth was born, all the... Does that not sound like something modern day? It doesn't change. We don't worship her, so to speak, but it's the same stuff. And the priest of this goddess would emasculate themselves. That's why he said, you know, as their devotion to this goddess. Hey, why don't you just go do that? And all the Galatians would have understood clearly what he was talking about. They would have all understood that. Very clearly. So we're talking about some blistering language here, you know. And so, you know, at the beginning of this, Paul says, you know, you're looking at a contrary gospel here. And early in this letter, he says, if you go to a contrary gospel, if you hear it from me or from an angel in heaven, I mean the strongest, let that person be accursed. Again, we preachers don't talk this way today. If you accept circumcision, he says, well, what's the big deal? The big deal with circumcision, this is going longer than I thought. I'll get there. Circumcision is not about something physical. It's not about the physical. That circumcision stood for a particular type of religion. Obviously, it stood for what the Israelites were raised with and that sort of thing. But it wasn't just the physical thing. It was the whole thing that is involved here. So it stood for a certain kind of religion, which is salvation by works in obedience to the law. That's what it is. And whether it's the religion of the Jews or whether it's any of these other religions, it's the same thing because every religion has a code to it. Like the ones that would imagine, there's a code to it. And you obey, they are the elementary principles of the world, and you sort of beat up yourself to earn the response of the gods, whoever that god is. Does everybody understand that? You know, if you accept circumcision, which does involve, you know, these Judaizers that are coming in, Christ is of no advantage to you. You are severed from him. You have fallen from grace. Why is that? Because back in Acts 15, where you have what we call the Jerusalem Council, it starts in Acts 15, but some men came down from Judea and were teaching. I wrote it down because I wanted to get it exact. Teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's what they're teaching. And in verse 5 of chapter 15 of Acts, that it involves keeping the whole law of Moses, which Paul, who knew it well, says in this letter that there is no law that can give you life. So if you accept circumcision, what he's basically saying is you got to do it all. You got to do it all. You got to keep all the law. You got to keep all the customs of Moses. You got to keep it all. And it's the same with the elementary principles of the world. Every religion has their elementary principles. Every single one has devised some code of conduct, some set of measures by which you must embrace and do in order to be accepted. Every single one. I don't care if it's Hinduism or Buddhism or Shintoism or whatever ism you want to talk about. They all have a code of conduct, and they all have something to do with suppressing yourself and abiding by whatever they have established. Does everybody see that? And you know what's sad is that down through the ages, the church has done the very same thing. So we have churches that have set up pathways to grace that you need to be aware of and do, codes of conduct, ways to measure whether you're spiritual or not, and we've divided ourselves up over all of this, whether or not you speak in tongues and on. Does everybody understand this is what we've done? And all of it is a way for somebody who thinks that they know something to ultimately suppress your freedom. You got to do it this way. That's what we've done. It's sad. And all of it is contrary to grace, and it's contrary to truth. And it's an offense to the cross. All of it. It offends the cross. That's what he's saying here. In the strongest language he can. So if you accept this or this or whatever it is that the church has come up with, you know, we're divided over so many things, millennialism and Catholicism and baptism and on, you know, it's so, you know, baptism, an outward sign of an inward grace, and all this nonsense that you cannot find in the simple passage of God's word. It's just sad. And if you accept all of this, please understand that nothing additional to what God has provided for us, nothing additional improves our standing with Christ. Nothing. Nothing. And so I'm going to end very simply this way, because there's more to talk about how. How do we live in the Spirit? We're going to get there. Because there's, you know, you don't want to be here an hour. how have we messed up? I don't know, because there is a wonder and there is a beauty of the gospel. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. You know, when you go back to the beginning of this letter, you know, the gospel, when Paul began this letter, the gospel is about being delivered from this present evil age. To be delivered from something is to no longer be subject to it, right? I'm delivered from it. I'm not subject to it. I have an inalienable right to liberty, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. You know, and not only am I not enslaved to the present evil age, I am basically no longer enslaved to the elementary principles of the world that were constructed by the world. I'm delivered from it. I'm no longer enslaved to it. No, I'm simply justified by faith in Christ, that I'm a person that realizes that God's got a hold of my mind and my heart, and I realize that I've fallen short, and I'm short of the glory that God has built into my life, and I'm just short of it, and I've broken the law, which convicts me that I'm short of it, but glory be to God in Jesus, I am justified. There is no longer any condemnation to those that are in Christ. Glory be to God. Let's celebrate that. You are no longer condemned. In the cross, I was baptized into Christ. I was baptized into his death. I died. My old life was buried, like being buried in the ground, and it no longer has a hold on me. No longer. And I was raised to walk in newness of life. Newness of life. I'm a new creation. I'm starting over. I'm starting brand new. And not only does he give me a new start, he deposits the power of his Holy Spirit in my life. That it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live, I no longer live by the flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We received the Spirit, and in the life in the Spirit, there are endless possibilities. There is nothing that is impossible. It's a life of miracles. This is what he's talking about. This is what he's breathing for. This is what he wants. Why would you go back? Why would you do it? Who wouldn't want what I just described? Who wouldn't want it? Who wouldn't want it? I wish he let me start over preaching. I wish I could go back and know what I know. Folks, the gospel is not complicated. It is not complicated. It is not difficult. But the problem is we still have Christians who are afraid of their freedom. They don't know how to live in it. We'll talk about how to live in it. And we're not to be afraid of the freedom. We're to bask in it. Live life to the full. See, yes, I stood over the deathbed of Lynn's dad. Family called me in, and he wanted to talk to me. And so I said, yeah, I can be there by 2. I was there by 2 in the afternoon, and I find a house full of people. I don't know who all these people are. Some of them are Lynn's sisters, obviously the mother, but then these other people, and this sort of thing. The hospice nurse is there, and she's trying to get out and this sort of thing. And why does Rich, that's his name, Rich, call me over? He wants me to pray with him. Okay. So I have this house full of people, and, you know, there are people walking over to his bed. And the one guy, I don't know what his relationship was to him, but the one guy says, well, it's been a good run. It's been a good run. Okay. It's been a good run. And Rich is saying, well, I don't know if there's a heaven, but I believe there's a heaven, and hopefully, yeah, I'll go to heaven, and this sort of thing. And I'm sitting in this room with all this nonsense going on, and I'm called over to pray with him. So I finally get to his bedside and sit down next to him, and he says, I just need you to pray for me, and on. And, you know, I was taught how to deal with people in the hospital, but I figured, no, that's not what I'm going to do here. And I told him, I said, Rich, I've been overhearing you here, and I said, you're not quite sure of heaven. And I said, I'm here to tell you that there is a heaven. And not everybody's going there. And I said, Rich, it's really not about heaven. It's about Jesus. And I shared a little bit about, you know, how we're short and that sort of thing. And basically, he says, I forget what he says, and I said, Rich, I said, it's about repentance. I'm at the deathbed. He wants me to just pray for him. I said, I can pray for you, and you can feel good about my prayer, but Rich, I can't get you to heaven. I can't do it. So I'll pray for you. And if that makes you feel good, that's okay. But I said, there's issues here. And I said, whether you understand it or not, God calls upon you to repent. And you might not understand what that means, but you got to change your mind about some things. And I said, if you can't think of anything, this is deathbed. If you can't think of anything, Rich, I said, let me help you with one. Jesus has not been on the radar screen, and I do this, of your life. He's not even a blip there. He's not there. And here's who you have to deal with. Because he's the only one that's going to get you there. And so you need to think about some things. You know, I don't know how many days he has for you to live. I said, he can do a miracle, but I said, I don't know how many days he has for you to live. And I told Josh, this is what I was going to do. I said, so you just be prepared. Because I'm not going to go into this family and play games. So I pray with him and this sort of thing. I get a phone call early the next day. Rich needs you to come over. When can you come over? Can you come over? He needs you to come over. Yeah, I can get there. I said, I can't get there this afternoon. Well, you need to get here as soon as possible. He needs you to come. I get there. Again, this family is just oblivious to what's going on here. And I dealt with the gospel and all that sort of thing. And I said, you know, you need to be baptized into Christ. And I said, really, I said, baptism is by immersion. I don't know what else to do. And I said, you're not going to fake God out here. If you believe what I just shared with you, you're not going to fake him out. You need to be serious about what you believe. If you're hearing what I'm saying, this sort of thing. And I listened to him, and I accepted it. And I told Josh, I said, Josh, go get me some water. Just go get me some. I'm going to do the best I can here and offer it up to the Lord. And so we did that. And afterwards, I didn't see him since, but afterwards, after I guess what we'd say baptism here, I said, Rich, I said, you have a whole family here. You need to talk to these people. They are oblivious to what's going on here. You need to talk to these people. So evidently, after it's all done and whatever, I'm told that he started talking to his family about you got to get to Josh and Lynn and get back and see what's going on here. You got to get with them, whatever. I hope to talk to his family someday, but here's a family that's totally lost. The reason why Lynn's a Christian is because she married my son. And she's solid. Folks, it's about Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other God. There is no other religion. There is none. No one comes through to the Father but through me. All the others are enslavement. They are man-made systems that have no confidence because they came from man. They are elementary principles that have never changed, and our country seems to be going back to that nonsense and not even knowing it. You know, we're killing babies. And you know what the Bible called that? That was Molech worship. So how far have we progressed? Folks, there's nobody else but Jesus that can give us life and give us freedom. There's no one else, and he wants to do it. We need to deal with people strongly, like Paul's strong language, to make them wake up. Oh, Lord, however this came out, I just want us to live free. May the Lord bless your minds and hearts. Let's learn how to live free. We'll talk about it.